Good afternoon. Welcome, brothers and sisters, friends, to this revival. Praise be to God and give him all the glory. Amen. I picked for this sermonette the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 17. And let me get to the right scripture. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants had bread enough and I to spare, and I perish with hunger? And this is the passage of the prodigal son. He wanted to do his own thing, and he got an inheritance, and he went away on a journey. And at some point, everybody left him, and he was hungry. He was in peril. And this is the point where he's at. He came to himself. He was making a decision. And he was going to go home, and he's talking to himself. I'm going to tell my father I'll be like a hired servant. And, you know, he's doing all this role-playing in his head. And the guy was hungry, dirty. Not only was he physically hungry, but he was, more importantly, he was spiritually hungry. He knew what it was like to live a good life. And then all of a sudden, he just has a thought in his head, I'm going to go off and live the way I want to live. You're either on two paths. You're either on God's path or your own. And God's path is the highway, and your way is the thorny, going through the mire. And it's hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. Some people never get back when they go and live like a prodigal son. I'm very blessed that I was able to come back. Trust me, I know many people that have gone down that path, and they're no longer here, and they're probably in hell. There was a great decision that was going to be made, and he was humbled. You need a degree of humility to come before Christ, before God. Nobody comes dancing in, you know, I'm home. You have to come with a humble and contrite heart. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We're to turn from sin, and we're to walk with the Lord. It's the whole crutch of being a Christian. You walk away from that old way. The old man is gone. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is either true or false. He said it, so I believe it. His path is absolutely the way that a Christian should want to live. When we go half-cocked, we get in trouble. And just remember this. We have a devil that is real. And it says, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that he's not going to be nipping at your ankles. He is going to try everything he can. He's not going to go after the non-Christian. He's going to try to give a Christian a bad testimony. And don't give him the ammunition. Don't hang out in places that you shouldn't be hanging out. Don't be looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at. I made a decision last September when I came back from a vacation and I said to my wife, I'm done watching the news. And the only news that I get is from people at work. I get on my phone, I get my weather, and if something really important, Pastor James will tell me, but I stopped watching news because it was just getting to be too much. It was just getting to be too much, and I got one of these fancy phones, and I got YouTube, and whatever I want to watch, I have to physically punch it in because, unfortunately, stuff pops up on YouTube that's just not right, and you have to be ever mindful of what you do. If you call yourself a Christian, how you walk, how you talk, how you act, this is not for the faint-hearted. You have to be constant vigilance. I can remember one service Pastor James said behind the pulpit. He said, I am held to a higher standard because people are always looking at me. Think about this. If you were like a rock star celebrity, would you want people hopping out of your dumpsters and, you know, being in your business 24/7 as a Christian, that's what's happening. People are watching us. Really? He's acting like that? He's a Christian? I don't want any of that. And with that being said, we are all going to fall short of the glory of God. When we do, we want to repent, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your feet will not stumble. The flesh is weak, friends, but the spirit is willing. This comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 28. For which of you intends to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish. And that's pretty straightforward. And I did take some notes from one Bible study, and some people might remember this. But the old, our sin, we can no longer live in our sin. Now we have to live a holy and sanctified life is now required. The old, our self-righteousness. We can no longer boast of our relative goodness. Our goodness is like filthy rags apart from Jesus Christ. Our ease in life. Doing whatever you want to do, how you please. If it makes me feel good, I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to worry about the consequences. Life will become purposeful and less comfortable as a Christian. You want it to be less comfortable, go out walking the streets of Woonsocket or telling your mother and father if they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell. See how that works out. Take a stand for God and not waver in your belief. Would you die for Jesus Christ today? If you say yes, would you then live for him? Worldliness. We live in a very materialistic world. Worldviews, money. And as a man, looking at my life, you would think that I have arrived. I have what the world views think of what success is. But that doesn't matter, because it can all be taken away in a snap of a finger in a New York minute. We have to replace the worldliness with Christian virtues. That's what it comes down to. How do you find Christian virtues? Go in your Bible. Get it right from the Bible. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Again, if we claim to be a Christian, we got to act like one. I stopped drinking many, many years ago, and a guy said to me, if you're not drunk, don't act it. You have to change. You can no longer hang out in the club. You can no longer hang around with people that you shouldn't be hanging around with. If you hang around with dogs, you're going to get fleas. Evil company corrupts good habits, and don't think for a minute that it can't happen to you. Many good men have been cut down. I paraphrase that one, but many good men have been cut down. Don't think that you're unique and, you know, God's going to wink and say it's all right, because that is not going to happen. Take heed if you're a Christian. 2 Peter verse 3, chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. To grow in the grace. It's an unmerited gift that has been bestowed upon us. Why me and not somebody else? I can't worry about that. He gave me the grace, so now what am I doing with it? The knowledge is his word. Just because you answer all the questions right on a Bible trivia game doesn't mean that you're smart. It just means that you're look at the Bible every now and again. It's how you walk when you leave the church. How do you act 23 more hours out of the day? Does your kids run from you when you walk in the room? Do you still steal at work? Do you still backbite? These are things that go through my head. I had to put down on paper my life as a Christian, and it's sobering. Absolutely sobering to see your life as what you did for the Lord when you became a Christian. I would say everybody try that one. We're not to forsake the assembly of the church. Read your Holy Bible. Go to Bible studies. Pray, meditate on his word, and whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And it is all for the praise and glory of our God and Savior. We give him all the glory. It's never about us. Never. A revival is to maybe get somebody saved, but I believe a revival is for the individual in the mirror. And with that, we're going to close in prayer. Holy Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us have this wonderful day to preach your word. May it not fall on deaf ears. May people take it to heart. May we grow. Excuse me, as repentant, worthy sinners in Christ. And may we just walk with you and not this world that we live in. May we be ever mindful of what we say, what we do, how we act. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.